Preface to Meditation 14. Cuddling. Grace was a sturdy, solid countrywoman who lived in one of our mining villages. Just 6 feet tall, she'd bundle into one of our meditation groups and invariably proclaim with a smile of complete friendship, "I've only come for a coddle," and then proceed to go round harvesting her coddles, cuddles, especially from the men, before she settled down. I used to wonder what sort of life she had. What did she come out of into the reassurance, the comfort of the group? For comfort is one of the things it provides. Those faces. To be with others with whom, without saying a word, you know you're sharing a common journey. John Mayne and Lawrence Freeman talk frequently about pilgrimage, and so it is, a silent yet knowing pilgrimage. You don't have to find words for things you can't explain. You don't have to defend your faith. Nobody is going to jump out at you with their words. And words, yours or somebody else's, are not going to fall short. Let you down again. It's living in a very different dimension for a while. And you can sit there on a bad day knowing that the silence of others is holding you in, leading you in. They're not making any judgments. They're not going to let you down. After a meditation once, a young man exclaimed, "Well, that was a waste of time," and roared with laughter, and everyone else joined in. They knew exactly what he meant. However, we also know this. The ego, someone has said, has a repressive tenderness. The ego is the great coddler. It will always seek to lure us into static comfort zones, places of superficial reassurance, so that we emerge as hero or okay person, the one with very valid excuses, or at least not really to blame. The ego, always separating us out from others, always declaring apartheid. If one coddle fails to comfort us, the ego will quickly move us on to another cuddling zone, or even more insidiously, conjure up a new one. The ego is infinitely resourceful and mischievous. It will not leave us alone and will hug us to death. Christian meditation reminds us, first and foremost, that we have to know ourselves to be accepted and loved just as we think we are. The huge space of gathered silence enables that. But then it helps us to see that we cannot allow ourselves to stay as we think we are if our lives are going to be more truly fulfilled in the ways and purposes of love, in the ways of God. We learnt that we can be more robust, don't need all that coddling, mollycoddling, can move out from oases of our own making, which actually quite a lot of the palm trees there are potted and plastic, out into the desert, the wilderness, the wildness of love. All the great lovers of humanity before us have discovered that it is when we are stripped down in the bare landscapes of the soul that we learn what love is all about. Because there we can never know what to expect. Everything comes as a gift. It's full of surprises. Abandoned, but only by the false gods that we set up in the first place. The prayer of meditation leaves us with nothing save for an ever-expanding certainty that, come what may, we are filled, always have been, and always will be, with the utter fullness of God.